We'll continue with our subject this morning, what is God like? Yesterday, as we looked at the first part of our verse in Isaiah chapter 9, and the verse was verse 6, we saw the great power of the mighty God. Then we saw the great love of our everlasting Father. Now we're going to move on and we're going to see the great knowledge of our wonderful Counselor. And we're going to consider it under three little slots. I love to have things slotted, a place for everything and everything in its place, if possible. Helps, doesn't it? Firstly, wonderful Counselor. And then secondly, wonderful knowledge of the Counselee, that's me. And then wonderful counsel. We're going to skip around with Isaiah again. And we're just going to learn from him a little of his life and his times. And we're going to find that the message from that life and times reaches right down to us in our life and our time. As well, we're going to look a little more closely at Psalm 139. And we're going to see God and me. Firstly, from verses 1 to 6, his knowledge of me. Verses 7 to 12, his presence with me. And thirdly, from 11 to 18, his plan for me. I laboured long over this message, and on Friday I found I was barking up the wrong tree. Archie does that, our dog. And you see, he might think there's a bird in the tree, but it's in the other tree. And when you've been barking up the wrong tree and you suddenly discover that you've got to change, you get in a flip. How glad I was that I had a wonderful counsellor. A blind child was in his father's arms one day. And when someone unknown to him came in and took him out of those arms, the father was surprised that there was no complaint or cry. He said, "Son, are you not afraid?" And the boy said, "No, Father, I don't know who he is, but you know." See, he knows. We don't have to be afraid. We barrel through life, don't we, feeling so blind. Can't see the way, can't see the way through, can't see the end, can't see. And it's really tough. How wonderful if we feel our way through the dark unknown, that we can feel safe and secure knowing that our Father is there. He knows the way. He knows each part of the way. Isaiah 41 and verse 4 shows how completely God knows the way. It tells us there that he determined the course of history. He was there at the beginning and he'll be there at the end. Well, how about that? A counsellor who actually knows the beginning and the end and determines everything in between. Boy, what a wonderful counsellor. Let's look more closely at him, our wonderful counsellor. A counsellor moves alongside somebody to help them. And that counsellor wants to help them clarify where they are. Our wonderful counsellor is always alongside us. Always. And clarify why. He is light itself. He is light. Who else better to shed light on our path and clarify where we're at? A counsellor needs a lot of love, a deep well of love. Our wonderful counsellor is love. God is love, a love so big that it encompasses every one of us. A counsellor is very vulnerable. They've got human failings and they make quick judgments and they're not perfect. They've got habits of their own. Our wonderful counsellor is perfect. He always does right. He is right. He is truth. A counsellor needs to have empathy. That's a beaut word. They need to actually be able to see things as the person sees them, feel them as they feel them, get in their shoes, as Betty told us. Well, our wonderful counsellor knows us so well. He knows what we see better than what we know what we see. Isn't that wonderful? He knows how we feel, everything. A counsellor would so often like to be able to free somebody from all their entanglements in themselves and in the things around them. Our wonderful counsellor sets us free. Free from guilt, free from the power of evil that would trap us, free from me as he frees me from self and I take more and more of him. Frees me as I bask in his forgiveness. Isaiah 38:17 tells us, "You have in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back." Set free. To cast something, you throw it to smithereens. That means no strings attached. They're not going to be hauled in for another little look. They're cast away. Not only forgiven, but freed from guilt. Not only freed, but washed clean, white as snow. John 8:36 says, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." As we look at our wonderful counsellor, we're going to see more and more that it's all wrapped up in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. When he took the punishment for sin on Calvary, he truly set us free. You cannot do that yourself. You cannot be good enough. There'll always be something there, sin, that needed to be dealt with. He dealt with that and set you free. There's no other way to be free. Our souls are set free from sin's power and penalty, and our lives are set free from death. Free into life everlasting. A counsellor hopes that they'll be able to help the person change. Boy, some people need to change. We all do. The drug addict, the drunk, we can see that. But how about the housewife bogged down in a mangle of problems? She's not free. No power to lift herself out. Well, the counsellor would love to help her, love to help them, love to help them out of their addictions, their shortcomings and problems. Like to help them to change. And they realise that that person's got to change. Well, but they don't have the power to change. They want to make a new start, but they can't. Our wonderful counsellor has the wisdom to know that it's not a matter of a new start. It's all a matter of a new heart. And that's where it all begins. It's not just a matter of turning over a leaf. You see, we fail when we try to do that in our own strength, don't we? And in autumn, the leaves are never ending. At any rate, you turn over one new leaf and there's another one. So we go on. It's not a matter of making a new start. It's a matter of a new heart. And our wonderful counsellor, when we become a child of his, gives us a new heart. The old sin that trapped us is forgiven. And because of our Lord Jesus taking the punishment in our heart, in our place, our heart is given new life. We're given a new heart, new motives for God's glory, new perspectives, see things God's way, new values. Of course, we've got a new life, a new heart. And so we embark not on a pathway of failure. You see, these people fail and fail and fail again. We have failed and failed and failed again if we try and do it in our own strength with just a new start. We need a new heart. But in this way, God's way, we're on the pathway of victory. You see, the wonderful counsellor changes us inside out, doesn't he? And so we're changed on the inside and there are outward changes that happen. A counsellor knows that no one can really help somebody unless they want to help themselves. Well, our wonderful counsellor knew that whenever. Because the beginning to this new heart is repentance. God, I need your help. I cannot do it alone. I cannot become one of your children. I cannot be free. I cannot go to heaven. I cannot do it alone. And so they repent. They say, Lord, I need help. I need to change. I need to be what you want me to be. And so repentance is the first step in this beautiful change into a beautiful life and strength in their life. Real sorrow and turning to God. A counsellor hopes that they'll be able to accept whoever comes along. And whoever can really encompass a lot of whoever's. Broken human beings, some that in our normal feelings we would be abhorred to even be with. Our wonderful counsellor gave his life for that person. What acceptance that is. So that poor broken person's life could be changed. He gave his life. Our wonderful counsellor does not reject anyone. Sometimes we have to fight those feelings, don't we, of rejecting, because they're natural. We all do it. Chapter 42 and verse 3 in Isaiah says, a bruised reed will he not break, and a smouldering wick will he not snuff out. He doesn't reject anyone. Our Lord at that picnic, you remember that picnic? He didn't throw away the broken pieces. They were gathered up. They were important too. And our Lord picked up the broken pieces of that woman at the well, and her life was broken. How many husbands in her life? Breaking, breaking, breaking. And he transformed her into someone beautiful for God. Weaving throughout the whole book of Isaiah, you see a broken people. And we are told by Isaiah that those people were going to be scattered to the ends of the earth. But in Isaiah we see that God was going to bring that broken people back, restore them. As you go through Isaiah, you see that that was not even going to be the end. They haven't seen the end yet in Jerusalem. You see, there's going to be a new Jerusalem. And God working with broken pieces. Our wonderful counsellor. A counsellor needs to always be ready to listen. Telephone ringing, knock on the door, or whatever. Our wonderful counsellor always hears our plea for help. He never slumbers or sleeps, never grows weary. Why, he even hears the words that we haven't put into words. Our wonderful counsellor. A counsellor would love to be able to do something. If only I could do something. Of course, they can't do anything really, because the counsellee, that's me, they have to do the doing. But our wonderful counsellor, he can do something. He can even do the impossible. Everything is in his control. A counsellor is limited by methods, human wisdom. But our wonderful counsellor, we're told in Isaiah, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so he is quietly working. Our wonderful counsellor tells us, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And in Ephesians, we're told the same thing. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask and think. See how his ways outspan even our thoughts, which get pretty way out at times, don't they? And his ways are so much bigger. A counsellor wants to be able to help a person put the past behind them so that they're not still got their feet tangling in the miry clay. Our wonderful counsellor can restore those wasted years. That person who's wasted years and years and years. Our wonderful counsellor can make the fruitfulness in the years when he belongs to God make up for the wasted years. Now that is big. A counsellor's time is sometimes limited, usually always limited. But our wonderful counsellor is not limited by time. He's out of time. He patiently and perfectly works things together for good. In his time. Our wonderful counsellor's view of good is different to what perhaps a normal counsellor's view of good would be. You see, our view of good is in what's happening, you know, as in happenings, whereas God's view of good is in the person. God is working the good out in the life of the person. So that person is being changed more and more into the image of his son. The moulding of the worker is more important than the work. And the longer you work, you'll be glad that that's so. And you'll see him working in your life. If some work you embarked on is turning out a fizzer, God didn't make a mistake. He never makes a mistake. He never made a mistake when he led you into that work. No. He did not fail in his purposes. He is already working them out in the fizzing. And you want to believe that. How glad we are of that. See how big is our wonderful counsellor. See how we can trust in him. See how dopey we would be if we didn't trust in him. How safe and secure we are. A counsellor can often be discouraged when things don't happen in the course of time. But our wonderful counsellor holds that time. We may not see things working out in our time, but they will work out in God's time. A counsellor so often wishes they could say zap and change something. Our wonderful counsellor can do just that. A storm from the sky, a gourd from the ground, and then a worm to eat the gourd. Do you know what a gourd is? I do. Lived in Africa. I hope it's the same as what was it, Jonah or somebody? A gourd is a big melon, or it is in Africa, and they cut it, scoop out the middle, and then they burn it. Makes a lovely dish. Or you can have an ornament on your wall. That's where I put them. The Africans thought I was mad. They knew I was mad. But anyhow. Where am I? God uses different methods in his dealings with men, and all his methods and actions are based on perfect knowledge. A counsellor may feel wretched one day and confident the next. Well, why not? Human after all. God's character never changes. He's always the same. His goodness and mercy never fails. Where God is not given his rightful place, everything falls into ruin. And Isaiah's message was that, just that. He gave them God's counsel during the reign of five kings. His words are quoted more often in the New Testament than any other Old Testament prophet. He faithfully preached for 40 years. He knew his words would fall on deaf hearts, but he was still faithful. His name means Jehovah is salvation. He was married. His first son's name was Shir Jashub, which means a remnant will return. He knew his words were going to fall on those deaf ears, and yet his hope and trust was firmly placed. His second son's name was Mahir Shalal Hashbaz. And I wouldn't like to have to say that in a hurry, calling him for lunch. I don't know what it means. You could find out. But anyhow, the two focal points of his message were Christ on the cross, Christ on the throne. He speaks of judgment that would come because of sin. And then also he speaks of other events, and they're all interlaced. And sometimes you don't know whether you're on the future, past, or whatever. You see, God's time is so big. His basic message was this. Firstly, Israel. That was God's faithless servant. He had chosen them, and they'd failed. And so they were going to be brought into captivity and everything. Then he speaks of Hezekiah, God's frightened servant, and we had a pinch of Hezekiah yesterday. Then he speaks of Christ, God's faithful servant, his coming, his second coming, and when he'll be Messiah, really reigning over the whole earth. A copy of his book was found amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls, and that was in 1947. God's kept those words, hasn't he? Isaiah's message was rejected. They rejected the counsellor, the wonderful counsellor. They rejected his words, they rejected him. And there's people doing it today. They decided to trust in themselves and they were overthrown and destroyed. There's people doing that today. Whose counsel are you trusting in? The threat to Judah wasn't the great big Assyrian army over the hills there. The threat to Judah was their disobedience and their lack of trust in God. Isaiah knew them very well, but their wonderful counsellor knew them better. Isaiah 28 and verse 12 says this, "He offered rest and comfort to all of you, but you refused to listen to him. All the time God was longing to forgive them and to free them." Let us turn our eyes to our wonderful counsellor and pray like David did at the end of Psalm 139. And this is what he says in verses 22, 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." He knows those anxious thoughts. He knows me. Let's think of that knowledge. Wonderful counsellor, wonderful knowledge of the counsellee. That's me. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Let us think about how well he knows us as we turn to back to Psalm 139 and we think of his knowledge of us in verses 1 to 6. These verses show us the intricate knowledge that God has of us. "My husband thinks he knows me, and it really makes me mad because he doesn't know me. How could he? I don't even know myself." But doesn't it make you mad when they say, "Oh, you're just tired," or, "Oh yeah, it'll be better tomorrow," or, you know. And your life's crashing all around you and they think you're just tired. And you've told them your life is crashing all around you. They don't know you. We don't know us. But God does in Psalm 139 verse 1 and 2. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. All my comings and goings, ins and outs and ups and downs. You perceive my thoughts from afar." Verse 3, "You are familiar with all my ways." Verse 4, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Verse 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." His knowledge is so infinite that he knows the thought we've had before we've even had it. He knows that thought from afar off, it says in the King James. We're also puzzling, you'd have to agree. We're also complex, really. A counsellor has to wait and kind of wheedle it all out. God knew it all about us. He knew it through and through. He knows us, but it's bigger than that. He knows us in our problem, but he knows them too. Them and them in that problem, because your problems are often tangled up with others. God knows them too, through and through. He's working for you, he's working for them, and he's working for good. Our wonderful counsellor is God. He can do that. We see a problem from our point of view. God sees the whole view. It's just too big. We are so inadequate without our wonderful counsellor. Can you see that? His knowledge of us is so great that he even knows the numbers of hairs on our heads. I do know I've got more than Laurie. He's very thin on top, but he knows the numbers of hairs on our heads. His compassionate understanding of us is so perfect that he knows the tears that we shed. And those tears are precious to him. Psalm 56 and verse 8 tells us they're recorded in his book. He knows us so well that he not only knows the way that we take, but also the way that he will take us to make us what he wants to make us. Now, isn't that great? So he knows the way we're taking now. He knows the way he's going to take us, because in view he's got what he's going to make us be. Can you see that human counselling without what Betty's got? And that's the perspective that God, the wonderful counsellor, gives. Is just too limited. A Christian counsellor, you see, they've got the wonderful counsellor. Our wonderful counsellor were misses out. An ordinary counsellor's work misses out on that dimension that only our wonderful counsellor can give. His counselling power can free and give a person complete restoration. Complete. Mental, physical, spiritual. And it's not complete without spiritual. Not only does our wonderful counsellor know so intricately our total situation, but he knows our load limit. How often have you been glad of 1 Corinthians 10 and 13? A man's hand is capable of pulling a weight two-thirds of his weight, but a crab can hold 30 times his weight. Well, no wonder Laurie finds it easy to push me around. He's not a crab. But two-thirds, he can push two-thirds of his weight. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: he knows our load limit. He will not give us more than we can bear. He will give us the strength to stand up under the load. Not a way out, but a way to stand up under the load. And that's bigger than a way out, wouldn't you agree? I might add here that he knows our hearts. And that's why we ask him to search our hearts. He knows our hearts. He saw the rich young ruler's heart, didn't he, the Lord Jesus? You see, the rich young ruler's heart was bogged. It was full of things, and there was no room for him, the Lord Jesus. What a sadness. So we've looked at our wonderful counsellor, and we've looked at his wonderful knowledge of us. Now let us look at his wonderful counsellor, his wonderful counsel. Isaiah 30 and verse 15. In repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and confidence or trust is your strength. This is basic to his wonderful counsel. Repentance and rest. That's repentance and resting in the forgiveness that he can give through the Lord dying for us. In repentance and rest is your salvation. That's the way you are set free. And then, as you move on, in quiet confidence, which comes from trusting your life in his hands, you can find strength to cope. When Isaiah wrote all his warnings to the people of Judah, they were in the middle of a never-ending story. You're in the middle of a never-ending story now, wherever you're at. Trust, because the end of that story is going to be perfectness at last in his presence. The whole lesson that Isaiah basically passed on was that they should wholly trust in God. If they trusted anywhere else, it would be a mess. The girls sang about fear. In every crisis there is fear, as Betty told us. We feel toppled and insecure, frightened because we've lost. We've lost control of our circumstances. We don't know what'll happen. It's all out of control and we're frightened. God's wonderful counsel sums it up like this: forget me not. If you look in the Bible, there's a whole lot of fear knots, and they're all tied up with a lovely bunch of forget-me-nots. You see it. I had a look one day. Forget-me-nots. Then you won't fear. The psalmist in this verse, Psalm 64 verse 1, says, "Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." You see, he not only prayed for deliverance from the enemy, but from deliverance of fear of the enemy. Many Christians have found that the dread of some event shook their faith more than actually what happened. Fear cripples. Deliverance from fear brings tranquility, and Marilyn will deal with that when she talks about peace. Think of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We are not given the spirit of fear, but of love, of a sound mind. Right? Forget him not. He is with you. He will protect you. He will strengthen you, as we looked yesterday. He does not promise to keep us from the storms of life. Sometimes he does calm the storm, and he speaks peace to the howling gale. But other times he leaves us in the storm and speaks peace to our heart. His presence is with us. Psalm 139 and verses 7 to 12. "Where can I flee from your presence? If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." I'm looking forward to meeting Amy Carmichael in heaven. Oh boy. She has a reading that says, that brings out the fact of even there. Your problem seems so big, no one knows how big. Even there, in whatever the there is, his right hand will hold you. Amy Carmichael must have proved her many things. We all are, aren't we? If we trust. Many times a life's person is in a tangle because of their lack of self-esteem. Actually, boy, you don't know how true that is. Well, God says you are special to him. You are precious. He loves for you. He died for you. He sent his son for you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. No one else can do what you've got to do, because no one else is you. You are precious to him. My boys play cricket, and because I'm the mother of cricketers, I know about cricket. And a cricketer knows that he's got to play with his weaknesses and his strengths. So we've got weaknesses. So what? We are precious. God has a purpose for us. We are to play with those weaknesses and our strengths. He'll give us strength in our weaknesses. Strengths that we thought were strengths were probably weaknesses at any rate. Keeps you humble, doesn't it? Well, even when a cricketer does play with his strengths and weaknesses, he's never perfect. We won't be either. You're very precious. Hang on to that. His guidance of us, that's a big part of his wonderful counsel. Isaiah 30 and 20 and 21 says, "When you go through the hard times, the Lord himself will be with you to teach you. If you wander off the road to the right or the left, you will hear his voice behind you saying, 'Here is the road, follow it.'" There is no task laid on us which is going to be more than his power in us can help us fulfil. Prove that. It's your responsibility and mine before the Lord to find out what his plan is for your life. And that plan is tailor-made for you, suited to your personalities, your talents, your needs, your potentialities. You've got loads. Your environments. So let's look at his plan for us as we move down in that Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts. Were I to count them, they would number the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. A plan ordained. Makes me think of Helen and her daughter. What about that life unformed? God knew it. What about that life unformed that when it was formed, wasn't what? The form we thought it should be. God knew that and had a plan for that life. He's got to. He's God. And who are we? We don't realise that that person in what we think is a limited form, God's not limited. In that form, limited as it might be, God is proving to that one his great strength. In fact, in that limited form, perhaps they prove God's strength bigger than we will ever, ever prove it. He's God. It's big. Our wonderful counsellor. You know, he's told us that we can have the strength to stand up under a problem. It tells us in the verses we looked at yesterday that we can have the strength of an eagle to soar above. We can even get above that problem. But you know it's bigger than that. Because up there we get a bird's eye view. And it's bigger than the view we thought. And we suddenly start seeing God's perspective. That's big, isn't it? A bird's eye view. We will see things clearer the nearer we are to him. Sometimes that view will be blurred by tears. Often. I've had got to the place where I felt cried out. You have too, perhaps. I've got to the place where I've said to God, I'm tired of having a broken heart. Well, for Helen and others, there are people living with chronic bereavement. And it never seems to end. But they're seeing clearer. They're seeing clearer, sometimes through tears. It's not going to end here. That's sad. But oh boy, there. Perfect at last. Full view. Light. Everything filled with light. Only in the space of God's care can we have that hope. No counsellor can give us a hope like that. Wisdom, we've touched on that as we've talked about a bird's eye view and other things. Do you know what though? God can even give a woman wisdom when to be silent. I proved it last week. I really did. You know, I was looking at that verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and I was bursting to say something, really bursting, and it really needed to be said. It was loaded, and I mean loaded. And I was bursting to say it. And as I waited on the Lord, I realised I shouldn't say it. But I wanted to say it, and I was bursting. Do you know what? He did worked out a wonderful miracle and no one else knew it but God and me. Now I'm telling you. I won't tell you what it was I was going to say. I've forgotten it actually. See how big the miracle was? Because as I waited and asked him to guide me, and it's down in the nitty gritty right there to guide me, he did. And I waited. When I waited, I didn't say it. I was still waiting. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, now we're going to talk about kicking. I hope I've got time for this. I'm not going to look at the time. Kicking. If you're in the middle of some painful circumstances, don't waste this great opportunity. You might say, hey, great opportunity? You've got to be kidding. Yes, great opportunity. Opportunity to prove God's strength in your weakness. We've looked at that. Opportunity to crucify a little bit more of self, give more room for the Lord in your life. opportunity to see God work where there didn't seem to be anything that could be done. Great opportunity. Don't kick against it. You see, as you're kicking, you get more pain. The pricks don't hurt unless you kick them. And I think it was Paul told us not to kick against the pricks. I'm pretty sure he told us that. So they won't hurt you as much unless you kick against them. Ride along. Trust along. And see what God can do. Don't lean to your own understanding. That's going to bring misunderstanding and you will miss out on this great opportunity. If you trust, you don't worry. And if you worry, you don't trust. Worry is like a rocking chair. Movement, back and forth, on this problem, back and forth, and you're getting nowhere. Archie doesn't like a bath. In fact, if he sees the green bucket, he knows. And he would rather climb the highest mountain, the highest fence, than have a bath. But you see, unfortunately for Archie, he needs a bath. God knows what he's doing. We might think we don't need what's happening. God knows. So don't say why, say what. Now we all say why. That's all right. I think it's all right. I hope I'm right on this. Say why, but then as you move along trusting, believing, forgetting him not, trusting, you'll know you're moving through in his strength when instead of saying why, you say what. What are you going to teach me in this, Lord? What are you going to show me? I'm looking to you. Victory is there when you say, okay, I give up. I don't know why, but well, what? See what happens. And you know what's happened in that moment? Why, you've become a little more like the Lord Jesus because you're saying, as he said, not my will, but yours be done. Isaiah 43 and 18 has another good word of counsel, and we're nearly there. Don't cling to events of the past. Isaiah 43:18 tells us that. Don't cling to events of the past. Worrying about them can ruin and will ruin your present and your future. Didn't Paul tell us to forget those things that have passed and to press forward to the mark? The mark? What's the mark we're pressing forward to? The Lord saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Emphasis on the faithful. Faithful. Not so much on the good. You'll be good because you never lost your trust. Faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. You may not have been a success by worldly standards, but in God's view, success is faithful. Trusting in him, holding on to him, trusting him, and serving. Yes, well done, good and faithful servant. That takes me on to the last little bit. You see, now we move into a little bit, and it's only a little bit. What? Me, a counsellor? And we touch on what Helen did yesterday too. When God comforts us, there is another part of the victory. It's not just to make us comfortable, but to help us be comforters. We reach out to others with the comfort that he gave us, not with answers, so often there are none, but with the comfort that he gave us. And this is the comfort he gave us. I can face all situations through the strength that Christ gives me. I can do all things in Christ. This is the more than conqueror bit. You know where Paul says we can be more than conquerors? Okay, so you've got this need, this problem, and you're there with it and you're trusting in God. You're standing up under the problem. You get through. That's victory. That's being a conqueror. But more than conquerors is when you can reach out to somebody else and help them where they are to stand up in their problem. Helping others to stand. God can turn mountains of difficulty into a highway of communion and closeness with Him. Chapter 61 of Isaiah says He can turn despair into gladness, beauty instead of ashes. He can give us the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Isaiah laboured on. His message fell on deaf ears. He was faithful to the end. Do you know what his end was? It is believed that he was a martyr and sawn in half. We've looked with Isaiah in these messages. We got to know him. And it made me think of John when he asked for something, some sign from the Lord. The only words given to John was, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." Do you know what that means? It means after a life of faithfulness and in the middle of perhaps the biggest thing ever faced, John's or Isaiah's, you can't see what God's doing. Not offended in me, Isaiah and John trusted still because they were looking beyond that and that. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You read Isaiah, oh boy, in those last chapters, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And some things that hurt, and you wonder, blessed is she who is not offended in me. We're just going to finish. So where are you today? Why don't you pray with David? Ask him to search you. See those anxious thoughts. Help you right where you are. Cleanse you. Help you there. Pray that he'll search your heart and help you. Trust in him. See what his strength will do. You will stand up under the load. And yes, be faithful to the end, so that he'll be able to say, as he said to Isaiah, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And biggest of all, I hope you've been able to praise our wonderful counsellor.